come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go. Got to the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30. Close interception. Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live on a Wednesday afternoon. Anita Marks, David Deal, and you're looking good today.
Thank you. You
know, I like the shirt. I like the shirt. I like the tie.
After doing the press conference show, usually I change, but
no.
I stuck with it. I figured I'm feeling good on this Wednesday. I'm going to stick with this
and
shirt
look,
and tie.
And you look great. You've got this. So what's going on? What's going on? Are we growing this in?
The Movember I have going in. Usually I go with the mustache. But my 8-year-old daughter Addison pleaded with me for the beard this year.
Really?
Because when I have the mustache, it does not look good. And every time I would see her when I had it, Daddy, are you going to shave that thing off? You need to get rid of that. You look ridiculous. So I went with the beard this year.
She would use the word ridiculous?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Dad, you look ridiculous.
Yeah, so I went with the beard this year instead of the mustache.
Interesting.
Yeah.
When I was a little kid, I didn't like when my dad grew a beard because it was too
prickly.
Yeah.
She says that
and
now.
I just wanted to snuggle with him, and it was just, it would get in the way.
You know, but that's part of the deal. October, I always wear my pink for breast cancer, and in November, I do this for men.
And also, keep in mind, let's give a shout out to those vets who work so hard and sacrifice so much to protect our country this month, of course, really giving praise to all the veterans out there, right?
Yes. My father was in the Air Force, so day like today definitely hits home for me, and America is the land of the free because of the brave and our brave men and women who sacrifice so that we can live our lives the way that we do day in and day out.
Well, again, it is Big Blue Kickoff Live, and this show's for the fans. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. That's how you get on board. Also, I'll be monitoring Twitter throughout the show. Make sure you include that hashtag Giants Chat, and I will share your tweets with our viewers.
Yep.
This is being, what was it? It's not televised, but it's like webvised?
Yeah.
Webvised?
Say, yeah, if that's a word.
That's a Marxism. It's a Marxism. Webvised. And I will share your tweets. First and foremost, as always, I kind of like to look back before we look forward. And the Giants coming off of a victory on the road against the Tampa Bay Bucks. Your thoughts in regard to what you felt you walked away with in that victory.
It was a very big win for this football team to go on the road and to bounce back from the Saints game and play the way that they did with offensively with a balanced attack, getting all three running backs involved. Reuben Randall stepping up and making big plays to open up things for Odell Beckham Jr., where the week before it was Dwayne Harris. So, you know, I think it's important to see if we can get both of those guys moving here forward so that against this Patriots defense, they can create those one-on-ones for Odell Beckham Jr., who 9 times out of 10 is going to win them. So it was nice to see that. No sacks on Eli Manning. And then defensively, the ability to shut down the running game, to shut down Doug Martin and Sims, who have played very well this season, to be able to get off of the field and close the game in the fourth quarter. These are all things that are building confidence for this football team and the confidence that they need going into this Patriots game. So it was a great win, but what does that do for this week? Nothing. They have to perform in practice. They've got to prepare extremely hard and prepare better than they have before because, you know, going up against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, that they're going to find matchups, mismatches, weaknesses. The Patriots team is a disciplined team. And one of the other things that I said during the press conference live show is that going into this game, this is a game where you have to know the rules, especially defensively, because of all the adjustments, the different formations, which player's eligible, which player's ineligible, all the different ways that they try to confuse and create problems for defenses, not only with formations, but with tricky types of things that they've done that have worked out for them this year.
Obviously, the biggest storyline heading into that game against the Tampa Bay Bucs is the fact that JPP was back. Now, there was talk that he might be on a pitch count. I don't know, anywhere between 15 to 17 plays.
Well, that went out the window.
Fast. All right? I mean, he played 73% of the snaps against the Tampa Bay Bucs. Your thoughts? What did you see from JPP?
Unbelievable. I did not expect to see that in the first game. And if you really look at it overall, the pressures that he was able to create as he got stronger as the game went on, he had more than any other defensive lineman in his first game back. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive line had to start helping out, sliding protections. But now it's doing it consistently. And, you know, in this game, up against a LeGarrette Blount and this Patriots offense, they're going to want to establish the run. And he's going to have to hold up at the point of attack, because not having Deion Lewis and now coming in with LeGarrette Blount, you know this is going to be a team that wants to control the ground game. And this is where, if they can control that, Tom Brady as a quarterback will be able to pick apart teams. And we talked about this year. You know, you think about the wins that the New York Giants have had and the quarterbacks that they've had those wins over. Matt Castle, you know, Colin Kaepernick. Yeah, who else?
So you look at the quarterbacks that are the upper echelon of the NFL,
yes.
And unfortunately, the Giants have lost those games. You look at quarterbacks that are in the lower echelon of the NFL, and the Giants have won those games. Obviously, Jameis Winston did not turn the ball over, but he couldn't pass for over 250 yards. He rushed one in, okay, but obviously had a difficult time against this Giants defense.
And now it's going to be a lot different going up against Brady with the weapons that he has on the outside. And, you know, I think everybody from ourselves to Giants fans were hoping that this is a week that Prince can come back from his torn pec. We'll have to wait and see how they handle it this week, if they give him an extra week's rest this week because of next week's bye, to have him for the entire stretch. But, you know, coming into this one, Tom Brady is going to attack Holsley and Wade immediately. That's what he does. He identifies weaknesses and he attacks right away. So for a defensive standpoint, they've got to make sure that they play disciplined football up front. They've got to be able to get after and hit Tom Brady. You know, I'm sorry to Barry Colfield, because I was trying to say this during the press conference show, and for some reason I blanked. I couldn't get Colfield out, the Northwestern Wildcat. But if you go back and look at Super Bowl 42, the first play offensively for the Patriots, what happened? Tom Brady got hit, and you always see the picture of Barry Colfield, OCU Manure, and Michael Strahan standing over him. It set the tempo for the game. It set the tempo for the defense. But what also did it do? If you go back and look at that play, if they don't hit Tom Brady, Lawrence Maroney is taking a screen 70 yards down the sidelines for a touchdown. So it just goes to show you how important it is going to be able to hit Tom Brady, to get him off of his mark, because at this time in his stage, in his development, he has gotten better as a quarterback. He is getting rid of the ball in 2 seconds or less. He's throwing it shorter. But his feet, his three-step, his five-step, his seven-step drop, he doesn't move his feet. Offensive linemen know exactly where he's going to be. He's not going to scramble. His feet are in concrete. He can throw, have his feet planted, and go. You've got to make sure that you get Tom Brady to move his feet and have him going throughout the pocket in order to create some turnovers, in which they're going to need to, and something that Tom Brady has only done twice with two interceptions this year.
All right, we're going to get your calls in a hot second. If you missed the Tom Coughlin press conference earlier today, here's a few things that he did communicate talking about the Patriots. They are +7 in turnover ratio. Obviously, the Giants, a better ratio,
yep.
But still, +7 is quite good. Only two interceptions on the season so far with Tom Brady. They're averaging 35 points per game. They're first in the league in converting first downs. They're third in the green zone, mm-hmm. in scoring. They're second in sacks. This was surprising to me. They have 27 sacks on the seven,
yeah.
on the season. They're ranked second in the NFL. Chandler Jones definitely is a guy that this offensive lineman want to keep an eye on. And as Tom Coughlin alluded, he said, listen, nobody gets rid of the ball faster than Tom Brady.
Nobody.
Now they have an offensive lineman, Sebastian Vollmer, who went down.
Yes.
This past week. So now another offensive lineman is down. Another offensive lineman is going to have to come in and step up. So, you know, that it's probably the weakest link of that Patriots team is the offensive line. But when a quarterback gets rid of the ball so fast, David, it's hard, right? It's hard because no matter how quick you're getting there, it's gone. And it's got to be one of the most frustrating things for defensive linemen.
Well, their first 30 possessions through this week, they've had 9 different offensive line combinations. And now they have Vollmer. So they're playing people in different positions that they're not used to. So what does that do? It definitely affects double teams. It definitely affects the way that you see things in pass protection. And I know Dave DeGuglielmo, one of our offensive line assistants when we won in 07, who's the offensive line coach now, he knows that it's going to be very important to make sure that they get things solidified up front in order for them and their offense to function the way that they're capable of. But like you said, Tom Brady, he's getting rid of the ball in 2 seconds or less. You know, out of 328 passes, only 105 of them have been over 10 yards. So he's really getting rid of the ball. He's using it as an extension of the run, especially which this offensive line, the patchwork that they're doing right now, has helped them. But coming into this game, the key for this game is going to be the Giants' offense. Reason why, number one, in 07 and 2011, when our Giants teams beat the New England Patriots, offensively, it was a run first to set up the pass. It's not that way this season. It is a pass first to set up the run. And anytime you face a Tom Brady or a quarterback, you know that you have got to control the time of possession and you've got to maximize the play clock to make sure you're keeping this high-powered offense off of the football field. So they've got to find a way to balance things offensively to get the running backs going again this week so that they're not one-dimensional. And this is going to be for the New York Giants. And I feel in order for them to stay in this game, this is one where Eli Manning is going to have to throw the football and have a lights out game.
I want to remind you, fans, so don't forget Big Blue Kickoff brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code New York to play for free today. Two things that to me are the most important that I think is really going to dictate a win or loss for the Giants. Number one is, you know that when Bill Belichick goes up against a team, he comes in and he says, I am going to remove this player from the equation.
Yes.
My main goal as a defense is to take this player and make him non-existent. And that's going to be Odell Beckham Jr.
Yes.
Okay? So who else? So two questions here. Number one, who's going to step up? Who's going to win this football game if that in fact happens and they are able to take Odell Beckham Jr. off the equation, where maybe at the end of the game he's like 3 receptions for 44 yards. Obviously, that is not going to help this Giants team win this ball game. So that's question number one. Number two, and this is the $1 million question, who's covering Gronk? How does this team stop Gronk?
And that's been one of the questions that we've had facing dynamic tight ends, let alone the best one in the game all season. Let's go back to number one. In regards to what's going to happen in regards to Odell Beckham Jr., this is where other players have got to step up and make plays. We've had back and forths between Dwayne Harris, Reuben Randle. When are we going to see them consistently together play well to take that pressure off?
They're going to have to this
They're going to have to this game because that's the only way that they're going to be able to create those one-on-one matchups for Odell Beckham Jr. The other way that they can do it is running the football effectively to get play action going, because this is a front for the New England Patriots. They'll give you an odd front. They'll give you an even front. But what they do is they're just solid across the board. They pressure the quarterback. They force turnovers. They limit big plays. But the biggest thing is they're not a highly penalized defense. So you know that offensively you've got to play very disciplined and have a nice balanced attack to control the time of possession. In regards to the defense and covering Gronkowski, that's been the question we've faced all this season. How are they going to do it? Is it going to be a linebacker and a safety Landon Collins? Is it going to be Kennard? Is it going to be JT Thomas if he's back fully healthy this week? You know, these are all questions that are going to have to be faced, number one, with the injury report, and number two, how are they going to try to take away Gronkowski but also minimize Julian Edelman and the rest of this offense? Because
and
it's
Danny
not
Amendola
just,
yeah, and Brandon LaFell.
It's not just one weapon.
Right. 201-939-4513, a big, tall task ahead for this Giants team as they get ready to host the New England Patriots in Week 10. Let's head out to your calls. 201-939-4513. We go to Abdul calling in from Minneapolis. Abdul, welcome in.
Hey, guys. You guys are just talking about the running game. And the Giants have been doing a half-decent job at running the ball. But I don't think they'll ever really reach the full potential as long as we have this rotation. I just don't think it's effective. I think it gets them disjointed. And if you look at the NFL's top running teams, at tops they use two backs. And this 3-4 man rotation, I just think it's – I hope it's a fad. I hope next year they realize, you know, we need a little more consistency. And also it could be taking a roster spot away from somewhere else having these many backs on the team. So I'm hoping this week, you know, we have, you know, Vereen, Jennings, Adarkwa, and that's it. You know, and let's try to get some consistency. Get a rhythm going. And, you know, because I think offense is very choreographed. You need a rhythm, and if you keep switching dancers and, you know, players, you just don't get consistent. You know, different running backs run different ways. Linemen don't know how to hold the block. It just seems like you need. And I played running back in, up through college, so I kind of know what I'm talking about a little bit. You just need to get a rhythm, and it doesn't happen. It seems like, you know, Jennings gets intergrouped, and then he's pulled for a 4 series. And
no,
then,
Abdul,
you know,
Abdul, I totally agree with you, and thank you for the phone call. I totally agree. And if I had a dollar for every tweet that I've gotten the past few weeks about wanting to see Darkwa get more time, more opportunity, you know, it just seems like when he is in and he is given an opportunity, his vision, the excitement, the explosiveness.
His ability to go north and south immediately and get downhill and read the holes yards after contact.
I totally, and you would know.
I agree with Abdullah.
There's an ebb and flow to a football game, and you've got to get that feel. You've got to get that vibe about it.
Look at the difference of what it, outside of our football team, the New York Giants, look at the difference it has made for Devontae Freeman. He was a part of that 3-man, 4-man rotation at Atlanta that did not work. Look at how different he is as a football player and a running back this year, because he is getting into the flow of football games, and it's not a rotation. I agree with you. I mean, before the season and during the preseason, you know, I stated it on this show, Darkwa ran better than Williams in the preseason. He did, and I agree with you. I would love to see some more of Darkwa in this football game, because he provides you that spark, not only with his vision, with his ability to read holes, but also with the way he runs determined to get downhill, to get after people, to hit people, and to continue to press to get those extra yards, but all doing it while controlling the football.
201-939-4513. Want to make a note here in regard to some of the players that are injured. Hopefully, the majority of them are practicing today. We will know more at the end of practice. Prince Amukamara is still dealing with a pectoral.
Yep.
Hopeful that he was going to come back against Tampa Bay. As we know, they're going to need him this week against New England. Hopefully, this will be his week back. Victor Cruz, a calf. Larry Donnell, a neck. Justin Pugh being assessed for concussion protocol. He has to pass that. That's going to be key.
Very key.
Jeff Schwartz with an ankle. And then really, really, this is big. JT Thomas and Unga. JT Thomas dealing with a neck. Unga's dealing with a – I mean, JT Thomas dealing with an ankle. Unga's dealing with a neck. But in talking about Gronk, you need all hands on deck, especially – I think it's really key for JT Thomas to be active this week.
He's – out of the group, he's the most athletic. He's gone up against different types of tight ends that have played. But more importantly than just one of these guys, you hit the nail on the head. All hands have got to be on deck for this football game, because when you're playing up – against a undefeated team and one of the best in the NFL, you've got to have everybody come in and have a supporting role in winning the football game. Not to mention, special teams are going to be huge in this game, the battle of field position, and they've got to find a way, which they've struggled to do on the punt return side. is they've got to be able to stop some of the gunners. Because if you look back in this game against Tampa Bay, they did not do a good job at that. So they need to do something to get Dwayne Harris going so that they can open some things up special teams-wise to get the field position, to be able to have more things multiple for their offense.
All right, let's continue with our calls. We go to Andrew on line two, calling in from New Jersey. Andrew, welcome in.
I love dark weather. The dark blood night rises. That was my nickname. And I'm using too many movie references. Howard Cross, I nicknamed Darth Vader. I always liked Howard Cross, and he reminded me of a big, intimidating guy that was bigger than everyone and just his presence. So he liked the nickname. And for JPP, his next nickname is the Sandman. In one of the Spider-Man movies, the villain is this sand guy, and he makes his club fist, and he pummels people in Spider-Man with his club hand. So I'm hoping, I was very impressed with JPP, and I'm hoping that on special teams he could block a field goal like he did against Dallas, which led us into the Super Bowl. You remember Chris Canty. He was like almost 7 feet tall, and I was thinking if he never blocked, he would be on a field goal coverage, and he never blocked the field goal. But if we could block the field goal, get a punt return, kickoff return, you know, it's like it can't be even. We needed a play on special teams, and everything that you guys said was excellent. I hope Darko plays more, and I wanted to ask you about the linebackers. And what's going to happen, because now Unga is injured, and I'm confident in Spag. I like him more covering the tight end. And when he first came in 07, Spag, the tight ends killed us in the first two games where it was a combined, like, 100 points. But they adjusted, and they put a safety, a faster safety instead of a linebacker. But I'll hang up, and I'll let you guys comment about the linebackers. And it was awesome seeing JPP out there. And I'm glad that one of the linemen is out for the Patriots. Maybe that'll help our pass rush. Thanks, guys.
Andrew, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it.
He definitely knows his superheroes and all that stuff. but, you know, a great call from Andrew. And it is it is going to be one of those games in regards to JPP, the defense. How are they going to be able to attack and hit Tom Brady? And obviously, he's another one that is a firm supporter of getting Darkwood more reps and more carries with the football. So I think these are all things that not only he's feeling, but I think a lot of fans are feeling because of the production and the spark that Orleans Darkwood has provided to this offense.
And also, I think part of it as well is you haven't seen the productivity from the guys that are back there. So I think Giants fans are like, all right, well, let's see what Darkwood can do. Has he really been given a fair shot, a fair shake at really producing? No, he hasn't. And again, I think Abdul, I think our first caller was spot on. You know, more so than any other position in the NFL, I think as a running back, you really need to get into a vibe, a flow of the game. And it's hard to do when you just come in for a series and then you're out for a series and you come in for a series and you're out for a series.
Yeah, I can completely understand that. And that's where it's obviously different with Jennings. But you've got to do that with Shane Vereen. You've got to make sure that you get him in for series running the football so that when he comes into the football game, it's like, okay, they're passing. You can't do that. You got to make sure that you don't make Shane Vereen a one-dimensional player so that he can have some successful carries so that it's not giving a defense a bead that the minute he comes in, all they're going to do is throw it.
Let's continue with our calls. Let's go to line three. Andrew's calling in from Wisconsin. Andrew, welcome in.
Hey, thanks, guys. So I've called them before, but it's the first time talking to both of you, and just want to say thanks for your expertise and insight on everything.
Glad you got in, Andrew. Thanks for calling, buddy.
Sure, sure. And I'm not going to beat a dead horse because Abdul beat me to it, but I wanted to say the same thing on the running back, that I just think that we need to see more of a workhorse running back, and I love Darkwa's sight on the field and his, you know, quickness to the hole, but I also think we shouldn't give up on Williams either. I think he has a lot of promise, and I think if he gets 15 to 20 carries or more a game, I think he gets better as the game goes on.
Yeah, but then that, once again, that feeds back into having a rotation of players because you still have Jennings in the equation and you still have Shane Vereen. So I think the best way, like Abdul would say, is if they went into this game – with three running backs, because that would only put you in the position where you can only use those three. You know, sometimes, you know, just because you have all the crayons in the box doesn't mean that you have to use them all. So even though you have all these weapons, stick with the things that work. Stick with the things that are solid for you and consistent. So I think that would definitely be a way in order to structure things and to make sure that each player gets the right amount of reps and carries in the flow of which this game is going to go.
We're going to continue with your calls, but first let's take a look at what's going on Twitter. Hashtag Giants Chat. This is from Will. He says, this game is all about pride. Beating a team like the Patriots would motivate the Giants and show people they are for real.
No question. And you know everybody's fired up, not only in this building, but in the New York and New Jersey states, because everybody hates the Patriots because of the success that they had.
You know, Deflategate.
Deflategate, everything that goes
spy
along
gate,
with it.
The whatever gate, the gate.
And here is a team that has fought through that adversity, and they're coming in 8-0 right now to face the New York Giants. So this is a great game for the Giants that can give them a monster boost moving forward here, confidence-wise, going into the bye week the following week with that confidence that they can heal up and they can press the rest of the season. But like I said, it's going to take all hands on deck to get this done.
Now, this is interesting. This is a tweet from George. He says, who said it's all about pride? Well, Will said it's all about pride. Not just that. He said they have to play the New England tricks and mind games. Why they're named the best team. Like, you know, the onside kick.
Yeah.
Do you feel that this coaching staff is really going to have to maybe pull some punches we haven't seen yet this season?
Yeah, I mean, number one, I played 11 seasons, and I was never a part of a fake field goal or any of that stuff. So I don't know if it's going to have to come down to trickery and doing things up. It's going to come down to playing sound, fundamental football, controlling the line of scrimmage, not turning over the football, and defensively, their ability to cause pressure and do things to rattle Tom Brady. And, you know, it is for the opposite way for the New York Giants. Like I stated earlier, you have to prepare for the unknown because of all the crazy things that the New England Patriots have thrown at teams, whether it's special teams-wise, formations offensively, different looks defensively. You know, preparing for this game, the games that I went back and watched, the games that any player or any fan should go back and watch were the Colts game and the Jets game. The Colts game, they were right in grips. Tried to get pretty and tricky, didn't recover the onside kick. We all saw that fake punt formation and everything that failed on that 4th-and-1. Go back to being who you are. Play sound football. New York Jets, get the game into the fourth quarter. Brandon Marshall drops a touchdown in the end zone.
I thought that was the biggest difference.
Biggest difference. But also, that next drive, the New England Patriots have a 2nd-and-3. The Jets run blitz 0, and absolutely nobody covers Gronkowski. Touchdown, game's over.
Right. And out of all the coverages, how do you miss that? How do you let Gronk get right by you?
Look at the first half of the Colts game. The Colts had 2 touchdown drives that ate up more than 7 minutes of the clock. They controlled the time of possession in the first half, 17 minutes. They were right in reach of that game. They were going punting back and forth in the 3rd and 4th quarter. It wasn't. But those plays, those small plays when one player needs to step up, are the difference between winning and beating an undefeated team or losing.
You know what's interesting as well, because, you know, we talk about getting to Tom Brady and rattling his – he's so easy to rattle. What's difficult is getting to him. But once you do get to him, I mean, he does not like to get hit.
No,
I mean, what quarterback does? Look, I'm not sitting here telling you, I never like to get hit.
Nobody likes people at their feet where they can't step and he
can't
play
step
the way.
Into, right. But and he does, but he does get rattled. If you get to him, it's easy to rattle him. It's just difficult to get to him.
All the quarterbacks who are great get rattled because they know how much it affects them and they know how much it affects the tempo and the flow of the football game. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning.
I'm sorry. A lot of times, Eli Manning, he'll take a hit and he'll just, like, you know, his ho-hum, you know, get up, like, brush himself off, go back.
Does it affect his throwing and does it affect
his
kick? You don't think hits and people at Eli Manning's feet affect the way that he throws the ball and performs?
Well, yeah, that. Absolutely. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about getting. I'm talking about like
flustered.
Flustered, rattled. You don't see that from Eli. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, is certain play him not able to step into his passes?
Of and
yeah, of course. He's thrown off his back foot. Yeah, that. I'm talking about mentally rattled.
Eli just gives you the look. I'm not mad. I'm disappointed. It's the worst look you could get.
Oh, really? That give it.
It's like the
look,
parent being
give it.
Just gives you the look. It's the worst. It's the worst thing that you could ever get. And I know, as an offensive lineman, as guys on the offense, he'll just doesn't have to say anything. If you messed up, he just looks at you and you're like, oh, it's like you disappointed your grandpa.
That's so funny.
But another thing in regards to the quick game and Tom Brady, you know, if you see him stop and he's gonna. Get your hands up. Let's get some pass defense. Let's get some.
Yeah, but he's got such his release, David. His release is so he's just so over on top, probably more so than Peyton Manning. His release is just so over the top. Anyway, let's keep rolling here. 201-939. We're dissecting Tom Brady. 201-939-4513. Let's go to line four. Stephanie's calling in from West Virginia. Stephanie, welcome in.
Well. Good afternoon, Mr. David Deal. I love every contribution you made to this team, and I love your input on this show. And this fantasy football, do you need a mark? How's it going?
How are you?
Great, Stephanie. Thanks for calling.
Yes. One would say that this could be the interconference game of the year for the New York Giants. And the New England Patriots, because if the Giants win this game, they may be looking at rematch number three. But I'm not going to get into all that. Now, we know the formula for beating the New England Patriots is pulling Tom Brady's hair and all that. What I mean by that is crushing him and putting him on the ground and all that. But I will say this. The loss of Jonathan Hankins is, to me, is crucial. And I don't understand why nobody else called in a fetus. I think in this game, fortunately, Giants fans, fortunately, that Steve Spagnuolo coached the Ravens defense in that playoff game last year against the Patriots, which the Ravens almost won had Joe Flacco had not thrown an interception. But I can say this now. Gronkowski, we all know he's a load. This is a game where I wish we had Chase Blackburn, because it wasn't for Chase Blackburn chasing Gronkowski down that Super Bowl. Who knows? That could have been a touchdown. But we can't go back on the past. I'm glad you pointed out, Amir, about the Patriots' defense. Because we know the big three or four on the Patriots offense with Brady, Gronkowski, Julian Edelman, and Danny Amendola. And you have to include, what's his name, the big running back.
LeGarrette Blount.
But anyway, yeah, him. Now, that being said, we know how Bill Belichick is. He does take away your number one weapon on offense, which is Odell Beckham. What makes these Giants fans think that Belichick won't take away JPP on the defensive line? Because we know JPP terrorized the Patriots in that Super Bowl. But, however, the only way you can, in this case, yes, you blitz. You can send a blitz out, but I think the Giants' defensive line will have to play badminton, which meaning they need to bat the ball down every time he throws. He gotta have to bat the ball down. I know this sounds crazy, but I would take a chance and go out and live to send Coon to track down Gronkowski and have Unger like as an undercover, like an undercover linebacker in front of him. You know, you gotta double team and triple team Gronkowski. You know, and have him like a free safety. Speaking of free safeties. I wish we had Stephie Brown because some of these passes, like in the New Orleans Saints game, to these tight ends could have been interrupted by Stephie Brown intercepting some of these balls. But anyway, as far far as the Giants' offense is concerned, that's how we had always beaten the Patriots. It always came down to an offensive play. What makes these Giants fans think that Bill Belichick then won't look at that Eagles game? Like I said, I wanted Malcolm Brown. He's a difference maker on that defensive line of the Patriots. What makes them think that he won't follow what the Philadelphia Eagles did to Eli and the offense? And that's all I got to say. Now I'll get off the line now. Thanks for taking. Oh, one more thing. Anita Mark, I did say this. I wish we had an all New York Giants female fan forum show. And I said this out to Patricia Traynor. And I would love that. And if you would be open to hosting it or something, that would be nice. But that's all I have to say. Happy Veterans Day to everybody.
Happy Veterans Day. Thank you very much, Stephanie.
She came in with a full report card.
There's a lot going on there. But the one thing that she ended on, which is interesting, is, you know, do teams take a game plan? Like I'd say the one game where the Giants were really dominated was that Eagles game.
Yeah.
So, you know, how much of that game film do you feel that Bill Belichick and the Patriots are going to take and say, okay, well, this is where they had success, as opposed to the Patriots just saying, like, look, we're undefeated. We don't need anybody else's game plan. We have our own.
Well, I mean, obviously you go with your own game plan and the zebra doesn't change his stripes, but, you know, this is a defense and a team that does provide different wrinkles. They change things up each week. They may run the same formation, but different combinations out of it, different motions and shifts out of it to try to create that confusion. But I think going back to her asking about the defensive side of the ball, you know, you talk about Chandler Jones, you talk about Jamie Collins, you talk about all these players that do have the ability to get to the quarterback. But it is going to be Eli Manning getting rid of the ball quickly. The Philadelphia Eagles secondary, after that opening drive where they marched down the field, the Giants offense, they started sitting on the short routes. They started piling in and getting everybody in the box and giving different looks. And once they did that, they were able to minimize and take advantage of the full football game and gain momentum back to their side. So they definitely look at games and do research. What did they do well? What didn't they do well? How do the things that other teams presented problems to them, how can we do it in our own fashion, in our own way with our types of players? So, yeah, those are definitely things that teams around the league look at. You always hear it's a copycat league. If you see something on film and you attack them and they don't fix it, you're going to keep coming with it.
Right. Let's continue with our calls. We go to line one. Dennis is calling in from Miami. Dennis, welcome in.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good to talk to you again. I'm calling in because I wanted to touch base on a couple things that our first caller, Abdul, I'm not going to repeat that again, but I agree. Our running game needs to find more consistency and maybe keeping three backs in. I root for Jennings, Vereen, and Darkwell. Let's give that guy, Orleans, a good chance there. But to switch gears, I mentioned, I don't know if you guys remember my call from last week, I had mentioned that I think JPP coming in for that game was going to be, I think it was going to be an X factor. And as we saw in the end of the fourth quarter, he really, you know, helped us out in a play there. This week coming up, I see more activity from him. But what do you guys think about why aren't we seeing Nikita Whitlock back on the line? I mean, we don't know if Will Beattie's coming back. Am I right? I mean, do we have an update on him?
No, we do not as of yet.
We know he's coming back. We just don't have a timetable. We don't know when.
Yes.
But, I mean, I just happened to go back and look at the Bills game for a couple of plays there, and I saw Nikita Whitlock exploding like the Tasmanian devil he is. And I think if we plug him in with JPP, that big O-line of the Patriots might have a hard time with that little old 35. What do you think there?
Dennis, thank you for the call.
Hit offensive guards with the spin move. He was able to create pressure. But the problem with that is he's used on special teams. He's an offense. He's playing a lot of different things, and they know how valuable he is outside of playing just a defensive line, how valuable he is producing and doing things on special teams and offensively. But I wouldn't mind putting him in as a wild card. It's going to do something to create some type of pressure, something to give a different look to offensive linemen when they're used to going up against bigger, more stout guys than a lower leverage guy like a Nakia Whitlock.
It's hard to get underneath
him, and he's so quick and explosive, and we know from his college he has plenty of experience doing it. But you can't just rely on that one player. Robert Ayers has to step up. We're still waiting for Demontre Moore to play the way that we all thought his potential would show. Jay Bromley is going to be a huge factor stepping in for Jonathan Hankins, Cullen Jenkins. They've got to make sure that they make this a tough sledding day for the Pats offensive line and LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah, I mean, how big – I mean, I know what a big loss it is, but if you can kind of communicate to our viewers out there in regard to the loss of Jonathan Hankins.
Oh, it's – I mean, somebody who could penetrate into the backfield to disrupt not only the timing of runs or cutbacks, but pullers or any of that fashion, his ability to hold up against double teams so that linebackers are able to run instead of a guard or a center being able to get to the next level. He's played extremely well, and he – bodes right into the Giants' second-round draft picks. You go back to Barry Cofield, Linville Joseph, Jonathan Hankins. They're all those same type of explosive, dynamic defensive tackles. And it's a huge loss
so
not having him
on the
football.
Who steps up? Bromley?
Bromley has got to step up. And when you lose a player on the defensive line, everybody else has to step up and raise their level of game. That's across the board. You know, offensively, if one of your best weapons is out, offensive line, you need to step up and protect and spend extra time making sure you're given extra time and protection to get other players open. And that's the key for all this. It's about synergy. If one guy goes down, two guys, three guys, not just one, have to step up and elevate their game.
Again, monitoring Twitter throughout the show, hashtag Giants Chat. This is from James. He says, the only way to beat New England is the red zone defense. It's the only defense that we have against them that we do well at. And again, just to share the stat that Tom Coughlin shared, they are third, as Tom likes to call it, the green zone.
Yes.
So they are third.
Green means go.
Yes.
That's what he says. Red means stop. We're going in.
I love the imitation. So the Patriots rank third in the NFL in the red zone, a.k.a. green zone, by Tom Coughlin.
Their defense has only given up 17 points a game. So those bode hand in hand with each other. They score points offensively, and they're stymie on defense. And the way that their offense has been playing, it gives their defense more flexibility to be aggressive, to change things, and to do things different each week because they know that their offense can put up massive numbers.
All right, we'll continue with your calls. Let's go to Joe calling in from Pennsylvania. Joe, you're on board. Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, David Deal, and you. Welcome in.
Hey, great to talk to you two there. I think I'm thinking about, they're saying in the league, you know, that Belichick and Brady's on a mission with this deflate game to prove to the league that they can play in this and that. If they ever want a revenge factor, I would think it would be the Giants, that they have their number. Here comes Coughlin and Eli again. There got to be some payback there. And I really do think, you know, they're going to be worried about us a little bit. And I think the key to handling Gronk, there's no doubt about it. You hit him up on the line. You have a linebacker on him, at least in a safety over the top. And you don't, that safety, don't let Gronk get behind you. It's a little tougher to throw over the linebacker and, like, in between that and the safety. You have a better chance. That's where the Giants been getting beat. And they got to keep these guys in front of them. And I hope Prince can play there. And when they do catch them short passes, that they got to make the tackles, make them earn everything. Don't let them break it for 15, 20 yards more. So you got to keep driving, and that is a big key. And what else did I want to say? But I think the Giants do have their number. They're going to be worried about it. And I hope the big key is if the offense, because they're going to move the ball. There's no doubt about it. But we got to keep it in front of them, make them earn everything like that. And on offense, hopefully we can move it. And no turnovers in that. And that's all. And I wanted to say I can remember that game back when it was 07. Was it Christmas or when they were undefeated and they beat us? But it was one of the best Giants losses I ever went through there with it. It was a great game, And it just inspired the Giants, and they knew after that that they could play with the guys, with them, and they went on to the Super Bowl, and you know what happened there. And I just hope that that's what it, we got to play good team ball. So thanks for taking my call. We'll see you.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. Interesting. You know, the question was posed today. And again, if you missed the Tom Coughlin press conference, you could watch it in its entirety on Giants.com. But it was asked, listen, you know, this is a team, the Giants seem to always have the Patriots number. And Tom was very fast to reply. This is a different team. These are different players. It's much different. Although, do you think that is something that's in the back of the – we know it's different players. We know it's – we get all that. But is that something that you feel is in the back of the mind of a lot of the Patriot players, David?
Yeah, I think that it is, because not only in the two Super Bowls, but winning in New England on the road in 2011 in November when we broke their 24-game winning streak at home. So it is definitely something that they think about, playing a team that has beat them in big games and in crucial times. But when you think about that and you go back to that 07 game, which was, he said, the greatest loss he's ever seen, what happened in that game? Dominic Hixon returns the opening kickoff for a touchdown. All three phases stepped up and provided sparks, points, and that belief that they could get it done. It's going to be just like that this game. But the problem is the lack of production at the defensive line. That's where they were able to rattle, get after Tom Brady, and really cause the problems for them offensively. That's where this defensive line, stepping up with JPP coming into this game, everybody else has got to magnify and step up their game in order to get that done.
Another thing that head coach Tom Coughlin did say was that the excitement around the facility this week, the fact that they are going up against, it's not just that it's the Patriots, they're undefeated. It's
defending Super Bowl champions.
And it's very, very, very difficult to do that, to be this, to go this far into the season and be undefeated and the type of caliber of ball that they're playing. Tom Coughlin said that this team is up for the challenge, the excitement around the facility, which, you know, I'm really interested.
You can feel it.
I'm really interested to see how practice went today.
You could feel it with the guys walking around, bouncing from meeting to meeting. You can sense that energy, and you know which weeks are the big week. You can't help but feel the energy in this building and around this entire area, because they know, number one, how important this game is, and number two, they know what it's like facing up against the New England Patriots.
I want to remind you, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick your cash. It's as simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code New York to claim your free entry today. Let's go to line three. Derek is calling in. Derek, welcome.
Hey, welcome, and thank you, Nita. Champ, how's it going?
Excellent, Derek. How are you, buddy?
I'm going to ask, I know that Spagnuolo and the Giants normally play like cover two, and they normally back off. They don't really do press man. Okay, but for this game, there's two defenses that I think that you have to try in this game, or because Tom Brady gets the ball out so fast and he kills zone so much. You have to play almost press man and double the tight end with a safety, and almost kind of play a single high safety with either man, or you have to play single high safety with zone. You can't, if you don't have four people in there, you have to invite them to throw the ball long. I mean, I know no one wants to see the ball go down the field, but that's the only way, because Tom Brady is so precise. He will kill you trying to stop him. Some teams you can say, I don't believe this team can throw the ball for 4 yards, for 5 yards, all the way down the field. Tom Brady will. He will do that, and he will continue to do that the whole game. So I think that you have to put press man on him and at least bring a safety down in the box, not actually to blitz the run, but almost like the Seattle Seahawks have like almost a line of linebackers with a safety right there. So, you know, and Tom Brady will.
Oh, unfortunately, we just lost our caller. I'm sorry. If you can, please try to call back. But based on the...
No, yeah, I completely understand where he's coming from and how it is important to play press man with the short game, with him getting the ball out so quickly. But that's where it's important to have a Prince and a DRC, not just DRC. Because like I said, if that's the case, they're going to be able to not only get the ball out quickly, but double moves, do different things to try attacking Wade and Holsley.
All right, let's continue. Let's go to Joe calling in from California, the West Coast, David. Joe, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
How you doing, guys?
We'd be a lot better if we had your California weather, Joe.
Yes, Big Blue, go. Just wanted to let you guys know I really appreciate your show, and you open up a lot of things that a lot of people don't think about. But I got to say that just an overall review of this game, this is a big game in more ways than one, and a lot of people are watching because one thing about it is one team that actually has the other team's number. Regardless of anything on how many wins they the Patriots have, they still have to think about Big Blue in a sense because Spagnuolo was there when they lost their other two games. So we know that he can dial up specific plays and schemes to be able to try to figure out or kind of contain what Brady is doing because Brady constantly reads defenses. So I can just say this, you know, we do have to get up and play the way we need to play on both sides of the ball and special teams. That's a big part of it. Special teams is really, really need to step up this game. And also to know that, you know, with Eli, you know, he needs to complete his passes, make sure he's reading the defense the best way possible. And then the offensive line, they need to really step up on this, too, because they need to give him time, too, to throw the ball. You know, so it's pretty much a quick overview, but I'm excited for the game. I'm waiting. I want to see what the outcome would be, but I know for the fact that Big Blue will come out victorious, and I know that Brady does have everything in the back of his mind as far as how do we beat this team.
Great points, and to go along
solid with solid calls today,
yeah,
by the
great
way.
Great calls. Great. You know, it just continues to show you how excited fans are about this game, but Giants fans are fanatics, man. They know everything that's happening on in the field. They all understand how important this game is moving forward, regardless of whether it's an in-division game or not, but what it can do for this football team. And I think he said it the best. I mean, it's going to be about just playing all-around sound football. Defense, getting them off of the field, not giving up the big play offensively, protecting Eli Manning, giving him the opportunity to go through his checkdowns, his reads, his audibles, because that is one thing that last week that he didn't get a lot of credit for. If you listened and watched Eli Manning during the game, I can study, and I know this offense now. It took me a little bit because it wasn't what I ran here for 11 seasons, but now you can see him clearly taking his time at the line of scrimmage, pointing out blitzers, moving running backs, putting people in the right position. But what does it need for him to do all those things? It needs time, and it needs production both in the run and the passing game.
You know, the caller talked about the importance of winning this game. And, you know, looking forward, and of course you don't want to look past.
No.
You know, as a player you don't, but as media I think we should. And this is a little concerning. The Giants' seven remaining opponents have a combined record of 37-19.
Okay.
The winning percentage is 6-6-1, by far the highest in the league according to ESPN stats and information. The second hardest remaining schedule by opponents is the Atlanta Falcons, and then the Vikings and the Cardinals. Their home game schedule against the Patriots, and then of course the Panthers. And then December 27th, road game against Minnesota, who's been quite good. They're at 6-2. And then the Jets game is going to be interesting. So, you know, you got the Patriots a bye at Washington, the Jets at Miami, Carolina at the Vikings, and then the Eagles. Giants have a very, very difficult road here moving forward.
Yeah. That's right. When you heard Coach Coughlin ask during the press conference, he says, once the schedule goes out, I go into my office, I release some things, and then I walk out of the office because This is. This back half of the season is a tough stretch. You know, and if you look back, unfortunately, if you look back at the games, those ones that they lost, think about where it could have put them now in the position that they're in. If they would have not had the miscues, if they would have functioned properly down in the goal line in Dallas. But woulda, coulda, shoulda. That's all gone. It's in the past. This is a team that is still in control of their destiny. They're still in first place in the NFC East. And like I've said before, and I'll say again, when you're on this team, you cannot wait and rely on other teams to do your work for you, because it has never worked out for the New York Giants. Okay, we win this game, but we need this team to win, this team to lose. It never works out that way. The only way that you have success is by closing things out, stacking wins, and winning your division. And like I said, in order for this team to go where they want to go, they've got to win the division so they get that rest and they get that home game.
Just to share with you in regard to other opponents in the NFC East, the Cowboys are on the road at Tampa. It's still Matt Castle. There's reports that Tony Romo could come back week 11, realistically week 12, but Jerry Jones is saying possibly week 11. I actually like the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Really?
I like the Bucks in this game. Yeah, I do. Don't be surprised with an upset there.
Like another bounce back game, like they had against Atlanta, and then they bounce back.
Yeah.
And, okay.
You've got the Washington Redskins. They're on the road. I'm sorry, they are home against New Orleans.
Okay.
I actually think Washington wins that football game.
Okay.
I think maybe if it was in New Orleans, it would be different, but I think
Washington
does
played
win.
Well at home, too.
And then you have the Miami Dolphins on the road in Philadelphia taking on the Eagles. And again, I think that's a game that the Eagles win.
I think it's a game that the Eagles
If Miami was at home, I'd feel a little bit more confident. If the Saints were at home, I'd feel a little bit more confident. But both those teams on the road, and you got the Eagles and Washington at home, I do believe that the Tampa Bay Bucks upset the Dallas Cowboys. And not much of an upset. I mean, you're talking about a 1.5-point spread. So, just sharing that with you. Let's go to line one. I know we only have a few more minutes left for the show, so I want to try to get everybody in. So let's try to make these really quick. And we have line one. We have Justin calling in from North Carolina. Justin, welcome.
Hey guys. I just want to thank David Deal for his O-line work back in the days.
Thank you very much.
But my question is, like, I was wondering how come the Giants didn't bring, like, veterans like Jarrell Jernigan to take Victor Cruz's place also instead of Miles White. I'm not saying I'm hating on Miles White. It's just that I was just wondering.
Yeah, that's a question that
Thank you for the call.
I think that's a question that fans have had throughout the entire season. When they worked out Wes Welker, who just signed with the Rams, when they worked out Hakeem Nicks, when they worked out other players, were they ever going to step up and bring somebody in? I think throughout that entire time, they were crossing their fingers and hoping by this point that there would be no doubt that Victor would be back out on the football field. That hasn't happened. It hasn't worked out for him. So, you know, that's definitely something that people have asked all season, but it hasn't played out in any way, shape, or form for the Giants.
Let's go to Justin calling in from South Carolina. Justin, welcome.
No Justin.
Line two? No? Not there? All right, let's end strong with Joseph calling in from Virginia. Joseph.
Hey, how's it guys going?
Great, Joseph.
Welcome.
I was just wondering, who do you guys like to take Hankins' place on the D-line?
Jonathan Hankins?
Yeah.
We talked about
it
a little bit earlier. We were talking about Jay Bromley.
Jay Bromley, Cullen Jenkins. Those players need to step up and play well. Cullen Jenkins is a veteran that knows how to play the game interiorly. But it's gonna come up to those guys with Marcus Kuhn to be able to protect and hold up against the run inside the pocket, make sure that they're able to cause some pressure, something to get some type of penetration in the backfield to force LeGarrette Blount to go misdirections, because we all seen how effective he is when he gets downhill. But for this game, it's gonna be about the defensive ends.
All right. As we sign off, some final thoughts. Give us your keys. Give us your three keys. What you feel the Giants absolutely, positively must do in order to beat the Patriots on Sunday?
Offensively, control the time of possession, and no turnovers. Secondly, defensively, they have got to find ways to be able to hit, do something to get Tom Brady off of the spot and affect him as a quarterback. Third, they have got to win the battle of field position on special teams and score points on special teams.
Fantastic. I think they need to stop Gronk. I think that's the $1 million question, not just for the Giants, but I think for teams in general this season. When you have not been able to stop him, things get pretty dicey. Now, he did not have a great game against the Washington Redskins. Keep that in mind. I want to say he only put up like 47 yards or something like that, but there were so many turnovers in that game. Yeah. The way that the game, the storyline of that game played out, they really utilized more of the rushing attack than they did their passing attack. And number two is, no matter how hard Bill Belichick really efforts to take Odell Beckham Jr. out of the game, you've got to be creative on offense, put him all over the field, even utilize him out of the back. Heck, hand him the football, yeah. David. I don't use him as a running back.
Get him in open space.
Hand him the football. Like, whatever you do, get the ball into Odell Beckham Jr.'s hands so that he can be productive. He's a playmaker, and you need big plays on Sunday in order to beat the Patriots.
Great stuff.
Cool.
Awesome.
All right, it's been fun as always. This has been Big Blue Kickoff Live on a Wednesday afternoon. Anita Marks, David Deal. If you missed any portion of the show, you can watch it again in its entirety on Giants.com, as well as the Tom Coughlin press conference that was earlier today. Giants are finishing up practicing right now as we speak. And then, of course, media availability. We'll be able to go in the locker room, talk to these guys about the Patriots, and those interviews will be up on Giants.com as well. And stay tuned tomorrow, Big Blue Kickoff Live. You have Paul Dottino and Howard Cross. They'll be with you right here. High noon for Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Have a great afternoon, everybody.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down to the field. He's got through. 35-30.
Well, intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.